just reach your hands out to them as I pray? Yeah? Father, we bless you. We bless you for this amazing couple who carry your love, your joy, and your hope. And we ask this morning that you would just speak to us through them, and that your word would find a place in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that it will depart from this place and find fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Sue. Praise the Lord. Well, from where I come from, I'm sure somebody's wondering, why is he wearing suit on a very hot day like this? Well, from where I come from, we wear suits. At 40 degrees, we are still putting on suits. And it doesn't affect us in any way, anyway. So just forgive me if you don't like my suit this morning. Praise God. All right. When I say praise God, I expect you to say a resounding hallelujah. So praise God. Amen. The Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I believe the Spirit of God is here. And so we should be free to worship the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are getting better now. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I just want to thank God for Andy and Sue for their warm welcome. And for inviting us as well. I've known them for the last 4 years since the church started in Chester. And can I tell you guys this? There's only one church in Chester. There's only one church. And it doesn't matter the name we are called or the different flavor or brands that, you know, we are branded with. There's only one church. And it's the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because eventually when we get to heaven, there'll be no Catholic or whole or redeemed church. It's going to be just the redeemed of the Lord. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So it's a privilege to be here this afternoon or morning. And I've come with me with some of my team leaders as well, in addition to the choir. Those from Calvary Love City, can you just wave to the brethren? Let them know that you're here. Amen. Praise God. And so we've also come to take certain things off you as well, to get some grace off you. You know, you have your father. There's nothing as good as having a fatherly blessing. And Andy happens to be one of the fathers of the land. And so we have a lot of respect for him. And Sue is one of the mothers of the land. And so when they say God bless you, it's coming from their hearts. Hallelujah. And so we've come to receive the blessings from our father and from our mother here in Chester. Praise God. Now, the message I've got here, when they asked me to come, I asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to say to your people?" And you know, the scripture says somewhere, it says that the Spirit of the Lord God is within me and his words are on my tongue. How many of you have come across that scripture? Okay, so we have Bible believers and Bible readers here. So I have to be very careful so I don't make mistakes now. Praise God. So I believe God that the Lord has given me a word for someone here. And shall we just bow our heads as we pray? Father, I just want to thank you for your word. The Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light and brings understanding to your people. Father, we ask for grace this hour. We ask for understanding, spiritual understanding. And Lord, we ask that you breathe upon your word. Let it produce the right kind of fruits in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now, the topic is the name of Jesus. Say with me, the name of Jesus. Now, if you're having a problem understanding my accent, I apologize. Okay? But I'm sure you understand. How many of you are hearing me clearly? Okay. Okay, so I'm not doing badly at all. Hallelujah. Now, our text is taken from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and from verse 9 to 11. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says, wherefore, how many of you are there? If you are there, say, Pastor, I am there. If you are not there, say, Pastor, wait for me. So we can give some guys just a few seconds. Philippians chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 9 to 11. You should be there now. Okay. So it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. So the name of Jesus commands authority at three levels: in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. It was Shakespeare who said, "A rose by any other name will smell as sweet." That's what Shakespeare said about a rose, the rose flower. By any other name, it will smell as sweet. But that may be true for a rose flower, depending from what perspective you are looking at it from. But the name of Jesus, there is no other name sweeter than the name of Jesus. It's the name that's above every other name. No one else is both God and man. No one else was able to fulfill the legal requirements of the law. No one else was able to die as the complete payment for our sins and the sins of the entire world. And the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, Acts 4, 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you see, the name of Jesus is supreme. It's supreme. It's sweet. Sweet in the sense that it does mighty things in our lives. And I want us to consider the following. One, what does name do? A name describes people. A name describes things. A name describes a situation. If, for example, I mention Andy Glover, the thing that it describes straight away, that number one, he's a husband of Sue. And if there's any other woman anywhere that can contest that, there isn't. Praise God. That's a man of integrity. You see? And then if I say Andy Glover, it simply means he's the husband of Sue, or he's the senior pastor of the whole Baptist church. That name describes him. And likewise, if I mention Sue, you know straight away she's the wife of Andy. Now, if I mention Croatia, straight away somebody will say to me, "Pastor, the World Cup is not coming home." So the name describes a situation. The name describes a thing. Therefore, the name of Jesus, for us as Christians, describes some areas of our lives. And I just want to mention four areas that the name of Jesus describes concerning us. Number one, the name of Jesus for a believer is his identity. The name of Jesus is your identity, is my identity. And if you remember the story in Acts chapter 3, the lame man at the beautiful gates. He was lame, but he stays daily at the beautiful gate begging for alms. And Peter came unto him and John and said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but as much as we have, we will give to you." in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he held him by the hand, and the man stood up for the very first time. Praise the Lord. And the elders of the city, when they saw the miracle, they said, oh, what happened? And Peter stood and said to them, this man was healed by the name of Jesus. In other words, Peter was simply saying, it is not us that have done the miracle. Jesus is the one responsible for the miracle. Jesus is our identity. Praise God. Now, some say that Jesus is the founder of the Christian faith. Well, that is true. Every time you think about Jesus, you think about the redemptive work that he has done. And the meaning of the name Jesus simply means the Lord saves. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew 1:21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And one of the commentaries said that Jesus is Greek. The Hebrew word for Jesus is Joshua. Well, that I don't study Greek and I don't study Hebrew. I have English and I just go by what I know. Praise God. But the truth of it, of the matter, is that Jesus is synonymous with redemption. Acts 11:26 tells us, and when he, Barnabas, had found Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first time in Antioch. Why were they called Christians? The disciples were Christ-like. Jesus was their identity. And so they became Christ-like. Of course, you know, the full name is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Anointed One. So their lives were a replica, a representative of Jesus. And so they were called Christians, Christ-like. So it was their identity. Why is it so? It's simply because the Christians were living their lives in the consciousness of their closeness with the Lord. They have already given their Lord to Jesus. And so whatever they do, they were living the way Jesus would live. And so everybody that sees them, they see mini Jesus all over the place. And every time they gather, they say, oh, Jesus people are gathering together. And so Jesus was their identity. Knowing who we are is a key to a life-sustaining relationship with the Lord. Many times, we struggle with our Christian faith. But this morning, I believe that grace will be available to someone in the house. If you are that person, shout amen. Amen. Knowing who we are is a key to a life-sustaining relationship. John chapter 1 verse 29 says, it describes Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Ephesians 2:18 tells us, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Verse 19 says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So all of us put together, we are members of the household of God. Praise God. So even though we are resident in this city, but we are members of the household of God. Praise the Lord. And that is our identity. That is our identity. So look beyond yourself that you are resident in Chester. Look beyond yourself that you are resident in the United Kingdom. You are a member of the household of God. Praise the Lord. And so we need to live with that. Number two, description of Jesus is the kingdom lifestyle. The kingdom lifestyle. So first, description of Jesus. That is our identity. And then the second description of Jesus to us, it confers on us a kingdom lifestyle. Our kingdom lifestyle is rooted on the eternal relationship we have with the Father through the blood of Jesus. And it is through the blood of reconciliation. Colossians 1:20 tells us, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, that is including us, him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And verse 19 tells us, says, to wit that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Another translation says the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, all that thing is saying that we are being reconciled back to God, our Father, by the blood of Jesus. And then that confers on us that we must therefore live a kingdom lifestyle. Praise God. So knowing what we believe in is a key to sustaining a life of faith. If we know what we believe in, then our faith life blossoms. But if we don't know what we believe in, then our faith life suffers. Because every wind of doctrine comes, it douses our enthusiasm, it douses our faith, it douses our belief. We struggle with what we believe. In fact, some will even say, I don't even know what I believe anymore. And unfortunately, we are coming to that season because we are in the end time. The Lord is about to come. Somebody say, oh, Pastor, they have been telling us that even before we were born. Well, we have the Bible as an example. The Bible said that until Noah entered the ark, people were still marrying and people were still drinking. People were still giving to wives. People were still marrying. People were still visiting all places until Noah entered the ark and then the rain descended. So also when Jesus is going to come, we don't have any fixed dates. We don't have any fixed time in the time of life. But we know that a day is coming that Jesus will appear in the sky and everybody will see Jesus. How many of us are looking forward to the Lord's coming? He will give us that grace in Jesus' name. Praise God. So it's a lifestyle, a kingdom lifestyle, knowing that our Lord is coming. And therefore, we position ourselves in such a way that we are living on a daily basis, awaiting his arrival. Praise God. Number three, ever present with you. The name Jesus should confer on us a confidence that Jesus is ever present with you. No matter what you are going through, no matter the challenges, no matter the circumstances or happenstances, whatever it is that is challenging your faith, know that you are not alone. Jesus is with you. Praise God. And look at what the Lord said in Isaiah 49:15. He says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget. Can I just pause there? And when you watch the war in Syria, in the seasons of war, women forget their child. It's a case of child, you stay here, God help you, and they will take cover. People forget their family during war, during even famine. You read in the Bible where people, two women killed, one of them, they gave their son for a meal. Sometimes people can be that wicked that they forget their child. But the Lord is asking a question. He said, even though a woman can forget, he said, but I will not forget you. Praise God. The Lord said, I will not forget you. It doesn't matter what you are going through. The Lord is with you. And in Matthew 28:20, he says, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Behold, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of time. So God is with you. Jesus is with you. Praise the Lord. So don't ever assume that the Lord is not concerned about your issues. He is more concerned than you can ever dream of or think about. Why? He can't send his beloved son to die on the cross and then let you suffer or wallow in troubles of life. You are more precious to the Lord than the problems. The Bible tells us that even before the mountains were brought forth, God has been God. He is on the throne. So the problems that you are facing, they will fizzle out. Praise God. Because God is on the throne, he will send help your way. The Lord will help you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes some people say, oh, I am not holy enough. I am not a spiritual person enough. So God may not hear me. That is not correct. The Bible makes us understand in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter said, truly I perceive that God does not show favoritism. In other words, God is not a respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter whether you are ordained or you are not ordained. It doesn't matter whether you are a pastor or you are a lay member. All that is important is found in verse 35. It says, but in every nation, he who fears him and walks righteousness is acceptable unto him. That is the key in for having divine intervention. Praise God. So it's very reassuring, my brothers and my sisters, to know that God looks upon us with the same love that a mother will look upon their infant child. Isaiah 65:24 tells us, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So when we come to the altar of prayer, when it is time to pray, don't ever feel that God will not hear you. He is there, ever present, to hear your call. Praise the Lord. Number four. So, can somebody remind me what I've said now? Number one is what? Identity. Number two is what? Number three is what? And then the fourth one is authority. The name of Jesus confers on us authority. Authority. Now, when we look at that scripture, it says that in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth, everything surrenders to the name of Jesus. They bow to the name of Jesus. And that is true. That is true. I tell you one funny story. Many years ago, I was walking and I have a boss. And he came to me. By the way, my other name is Basil. Not the Basil that does funny things on TV, you know. But my other name is Basil. So he walked up to me and said, Basil, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading. He said, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, oh, you are a Christian. I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you see, I belong to an occult. I don't believe the Bible. And for your information, I am a magician. I can make you disappear right now. And it was just him and myself. So when he said to me that I can make you disappear right now, I said, excuse me, what did you say? That you make me disappear? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because he's a member of an occult. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, for your information, I belong to a higher order. Praise God. I said, I belong to a higher order. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you and I, we are seated with him. Far above principalities, far above powers, far above rulers of darkness of this world. That's where we are seated. So I said to him, I said, sir, I belong to a higher order of the occult. He said, what do I mean? I said, yeah, before you make me disappear, I can reduce you to nothing. I said to him, shall we try it now? Shall we try it now? I said, no, I'm joking. Praise God. Say with me, authority. That's what Jesus confers on us. Authority. We have authority to decree a thing and it shall be established. Philippians 2:9 tells us, it says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And 1 Peter 3:22 tells us, it says, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Angels, powers are made subject to Jesus. Now, if they are made subject to Jesus, and the Bible says that Christ is the head of the body, the church, and you and I, we make up the church of Jesus Christ, and we are the body of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is the head and we are the body, definitely the feet is under the body, isn't it? And if that is so, whatever that is underneath Jesus is underneath our feet. Praise God. That is power. That is authority. So when things, forces harass you, you know, I don't know if this, I think we've come to some levels whereby when we witness to people and say, somebody said to me, oh, I'm a witch. I said, really, you are a witch? I said, do you know what the Bible says? He said, no. The Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. Do you want to die now? Because that's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. He says, suffer not a witch to live. I said, it's either you repent or you die now. I can make it happen. He said, no, please don't get annoyed with me. I was called into a witchcraft. I said, okay, you need to receive Jesus now. Jesus is the way. I said, okay, I will think about it, and they escaped me. When we go out to do evangelism in city centers. Praise God. There is authority. There is authority. And Jesus said to you and I in Luke chapter 10 verse 19. He says, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Amen? That is reassuring, isn't it? It's reassuring. To know that power and authority has been given unto us. And Jesus, even before he went to heaven, gave it to the disciples. 70 of them, they went to the city. They were preaching in villages before Jesus would come. And they came back with a report. I said, Lord, even the devils were subject to us. They were casting out devils and they were healing the sick. And Jesus said to them, lo, behold, I saw Satan fall like a lightning. Brethren, Satan is still falling up till now. Because of the victory that Jesus has brought to us. So you have that power. You have that power to change circumstances. If things are not working around you, you have the authority to decree a thing and it will come to pass. Praise God. In conclusion, to be able to experience the four areas we've talked about, number the conditions that we must be born again. We must be born again. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. He didn't say may, he said cannot. So the first thing is that we have to be born again. And it's very simple to be born again. Just accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Invite him into your life. Let him reorder your life for you. There is joy in Jesus. There is peace in Jesus. There is blessings in Jesus. The life that we live, my brothers and my sisters, is beyond oxygen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2:7, I believe, it says, after God made man, he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Now, if life is only oxygen, we are taking in and carbon dioxide, we are bringing out, then we shouldn't have anybody in the morgue. Because all we need to do is that we take a cylinder of oxygen and open it up for them in the morgue. But life is more than oxygen. There is a spirit of God in us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we need to appreciate life. Every time we gather together as people of God, let's rejoice. Let's be excited in God's presence. Forget the issues out there. Forget the bills. The bills will be paid. The mortgages will be paid. The children, what holidays, your holiday, everything shall be paid. So leave them at the gate. Come in here with excitement to worship God, to lift the name of God high. And depression should not be an issue. No, it shouldn't be among believers. Why? Where? My God. It shouldn't happen. A believer that is full of the Holy Ghost. How many of you have had the Holy Ghost baptism with evidence of speaking in tongues? Wonderful. Wonderful. My question to you is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? You've got to change your atmosphere. When we gather in church, you need to see how we worship God. We dance. You know, typical dancing. And you know, unfortunately, when people become born again, this part of the world, they lose their dancing steps. But when before we were born again, when we go to the clubs, we used to dance and jump and aerate and do all that, you know. But in our church, we dance. We give God dances. Praise God in your dance. Praise God in your dance. So it is good for a brother to jump up. It's good for a sister. I love that sister that was waving the flag. I love that. Let that be a transformation of your worship, of your praise, in your homes. Praise God. Talk to him in the spirit. That's why you have the Holy Ghost baptism. Hallelujah. Every time you look, you perceive the spirit of depression is coming, pray in the spirit. Every spirit that is not of God, I command you, check out now. They obey you. They obey you. Don't allow issues to depress you. No, they shouldn't. Because you are seated high above all principalities and all powers. Praise the Lord. So we must be born again. Number two, we must live a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:7. Now, if you put together all the first letters of the words I have said to you, identity. Number two is what? Kingdom lifestyle. Number three is what? Ever present. Number four is what? Authority. Now, if you put them together, they will give you the word I care. Praise God. So, by the time you leave this place and somebody meets you in church, say, how was church today? He said, it was good. And they say, what was the message? If you don't remember any other thing, remember, I care. Praise the Lord. Please be upstanding. Shall we just appreciate the Lord and give him praise for his word to us? I'm sure the Lord has encouraged someone this morning. The Lord has encouraged someone this morning. Just thank him for the word. If you can pray in the spirit, my brother, just go ahead and pray. I'm sure Andy will not mind us praying in the spirit for just for 2 minutes. Let's just go ahead and pray. And if you can't pray in the spirit, you can pray in your understanding. You know, just thank God that you are here in his presence. You are in the sanctuary and you are not in the mortuary. And then if you need to give your life to Jesus this morning, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, wherever you are, just come forward. Just come forward so we can pray with you and then believe God for your life as well. Hallelujah. Mashata la bagadosa. Libro gozada de. Nende lebro janda la bagadada. Ekazoto. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. If you want to give your life to Jesus, please come forward so we can pray with you. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, just come forward. We can pray with you. If you want to have a new level of spiritual authority, please come forward. We can pray with you as well. In the name of Jesus. Mashata la bagados. We give you praise, Father. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit behind your word. Thank you for the impartation, O God. To you alone be all the praise and all the glory. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now we're just going to have a block of praise and worship according to the program. All right? So over to you guys.